This podcast is for education purposes only. Please stay tuned to see disclosures at the end of the presentation or see the link to my disclosures in the show notes.
Welcome to Not Your Parents' Financial Advisor, the go-to financial education podcast for affluent millennials. Join your host, certified financial planner professional and millennial Alex LaRosa, as he breaks down expert financial planning tips for the younger generation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Not Your Parents' Financial Advisor. This is episode 5, and I am your host, Alex LaRosa. Thank you for all who are listening or watching on YouTube. We have a little bit of a shorter episode today, just with Thanksgiving on the horizon, a lot going on, end of the year planning stuff. So we're really just going to cover a few things. Number one, what I want to go over is, again, I want to continue the theme of a tax planning tip. So the tax planning tip of the week. And then I want to kind of do an in-depth dive about Roth IRAs or Roth 401ks, just tax-free money. You know, some stats about them, how people should use them, and why I believe they are the best and most powerful tool that every young and really, you know, not young investor should be having. So why don't we get started with the tax planning tip of the week? And today I'm going to kind of keep it the same theme, 401ks. Let's talk about 401ks, mostly pre-tax or deductible 401ks. So unfortunately, as a if you're a W-2 employee, which, you know, 95% of people are, so, you know, this is excluding business owners and, you know, entrepreneurs, things like that. But if you are a W-2 employee, your list of tools that you can use to reduce taxes in any given year is limited, unfortunately. So you have obviously things like, you know, pre-tax 401ks is the biggest thing that you're going to have. How that works, right, is any money you put in, which is why it's important to have these as high earners when you're in high tax brackets, any money you put in is going to be reduced off of your income. So you're going to save on taxes. You're going to reduce your income and defer it to a future period where you hope to be in possibly a lower tax bracket when you take that income. The current contribution limits are $23,000 for anyone under 50. And then there's, you know, a catch up for people over 50. I believe next year for 2025, it's jumping up $500 from 23,000 to 23,500. But if you're a high income earner, so I'm talking, you know, 250, 300K a year, you know, or above, that's when you should be looking at maxing out your 401k pre-tax. You know, if you're able to do Roth IRAs, which we'll touch on in a bit, I believe that, you know, that is really, you know, where you're going to get your most, your biggest form of tax deduction. That HSAs, obviously we've talked about, you know, giving to charity, doing Roth conversions. Those are really the limited amount of things out there for W-2 earners and how they can reduce their taxes in any given year. So 401ks are very important for high earners. And there is something to be said, even though I'm a huge proponent of Roth IRAs and Roth money and tax-free growth, I think there is to be something to be said for, you know, that tax deferral when you're in your highest earning years. So why don't we go ahead and get started now on the topic of Roth IRAs. I believe Roth IRAs are one of the best things out there, especially for young people. And I truly believe that anyone really under the age of like 55, maybe even 60, all the way up until retirement in some cases, should be trying to focus on getting money into Roth IRAs one way or another. We'll talk about those three ways in a little bit. So for those of you not familiar about a Roth IRA and what the difference between a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA is, simply how it's taxed and when it's taxed. So with a traditional IRA, just like with a 401k, which we were discussing earlier, you put money in, you get that tax deduction, it grows tax-free, but every dollar you take out in the future, if you're above the age of 59 and a half, is taxed dollar for dollar. If you're under the 59 and a half, it's taxed and you have a 10%. So it's taxed dollar for dollar at your income level when you take it out. Now, the opposite of that is the Roth IRA on the other end of the spectrum. And that is when you put money in, you do not get a deduction. So you're paying, it's after-tax money. It's money you've already paid taxes on. You are not receiving a deduction for that amount. It then grows tax-free and can be used and withdrawn fully in retirement without having to pay any taxes on it. So it's a huge, huge planning tool for those that have a lot of time on their hands, because there's the power of compounding growth, the power of time behind it. The more money you get in there and the more amount of time that it's in there, the bigger it grows. And it's it's truly a way and one of the only ways you can make money that you don't have to pay taxes on. So what are some of the rules around Roth IRAs? Well, one, they're subject to the annual contribution limits of any traditional IRA, or, you know, so $7,000 a year for those under the age of 50, $8,000 for those above the age of 50. So just like a traditional IRA. Some of the other rules, there's income limits, right? Which is if you make too much, you're not able to contribute to a Roth IRA. For an individual, it's somewhere around $146,000. It starts phasing out. And for a married couple, it's somewhere around $230, $240, where it starts phasing out. The other thing is conversions, which we'll talk about a little bit. There's a different rule called the five-year rule. So any amount that you convert, right? If you take that out, any of that amount out within the 5 years, you do get hit with a penalty. So it's important when you're doing conversions that you're doing it with the idea that this money is going to be in there for a long time. And it usually is with Roth IRAs. They should most of the time be the last things that you withdraw on in retirement. Or, you know, if you're using them, you're not using them fully. You're just using them to supplement here and there. But they should be in it for the long haul. So I want to walk through a quick example of someone using a Roth IRA and what it can amount to over a long period of time. So let's see here. So we're just going to look at a 30-year-old, right? So 30-year-old individual, starting balance is $0 in their Roth IRA. They're in the marginal tax bracket of 25%. So that's the marginal tax bracket. They start maxing out the Roth IRA every year until age 65. So it's 35 years of maxing out that Roth IRA. It averages a 7% annual return, which is a pretty conservative number if you're fully invested in equities in the Roth IRA, which most of the time you should be, you know, pretty aggressive within these because the growth is where the power is. So in this example, this individual over those 35 years would have contributed $260,000 to the Roth IRA. But the value of the Roth IRA at age 65 with growth would be somewhere around $992,000, which is crazy to think about, right? Because now we're looking at that's $750,000 that you made that you will not pay tax on. It's tax-free. Show me somewhere else that you can do that. It's few and far between, right? So that just illustrates the power of these instruments. And that's why I believe everyone should have them. Some other things about them, right? So another advantage or two other advantages. One, there's no RMDs on them. So for those of you that are younger or not retired, you may not know what an RMD is. You may not even be on your radar. So the current rule is for those that are retired, it's usually either age 73 or 75, depending on the year you were born. The government makes you start taking out money from traditional or tax deferred accounts. So say you have $1 million in a traditional IRA that was from 401k rollovers. At age 73, the government's going to come knocking and say, hey, you have to take $40,000, $42,000, $45,000, whatever the number is, out this year and pay tax on it at your income rate. Well, some people that are very successful at saving for retirement don't need their full RMD amounts and end up paying more tax than they should. So the benefit of a Roth IRA is they have no RMDs. They have no required minimum distributions. So you can let them grow for your entire life beyond retirement. And the other great thing about them, they are one of the best estate planning tools that there is. So there was a new rule that was passed, the SECURE Act, back in 2020. And what that changed was how people inherit IRAs. So before it was subject to a stretch rule. So say your parents or you pass your IRAs on to your children, your traditional accounts, they get what's called an inherited IRA. So before pre-Secure Act, before 2020, you were able to take the required minimum distributions from that IRA or 401k or pre-tax instrument based off of your lifetime. So you could stretch your RMDs out for your lifetime. They'd be very small. It was a way to kind of keep that tax deferred status for a long time. Now that's changed. The Secure Act eliminated the stretch IRA and to replace it with what's called the 10-year rule. So if you inherit an IRA, the new rule is you have 10 years from the date of death to empty that account completely. and you pay tax dollar for dollar, everything that comes out at your tax rate. So think about this from an estate planning point of view. If you have children, you're a young professional, you're a high earner, and you have children, getting money into Roth IRAs can benefit them. How? Well, with a Roth IRA, if you pass it on to your beneficiaries, if you when you die, they still have to take all the money out over 10 years, but they don't have to pay a dollar in tax because you already paid it. So another benefit of the Roth IRAs, it's a tremendous estate planning tool. So I touched on it briefly, right? I think everyone, every young professional, really all the way, almost all the way up until retirement, in most cases, should be trying to get money into Roth IRAs one of three ways. First is just a simple IRA contribution, right? If you're able to make it, say you're under the income threshold, you should be maxing that out every year. And really, if you can't max it out, look elsewhere, reduce your 401k, you know, as long as you're not going below what your employer matches, reduce 529s, reduce brokerage account savings, max out that Roth IRA. That should be, you know, the second notch on your belt behind, you know, contributing up to your employer match to get that free money. But the Roth IRA should be the next bucket that you should focus on. The second way to get into a Roth IRA, so most of the people I work with are high earners. So joint, you know, they're over 240, so they can't make a traditional or Roth IRA contribution, right? Well, they can make a traditional, but it's non-deductible, which you should never do that. And I'll talk about that in future episodes, but you should never make a non-deductible traditional IRA contribution that you don't plan on converting. So there's something called the backdoor Roth IRA that can be done by high earners to still get their contribution into a Roth IRA. But one thing has to be true. They have to have a zeroed out traditional IRA balance across any IRAs that they have, SEP IRAs included. Because if you don't, you get the pro rata rule, which can lead to double taxation. It's pretty complicated, but you know, you want to have a zeroed out traditional IRA balance. So how a backdoor works is if, when you're over the income limits, you make a non-deductible traditional IRA contribution, $7,000 for those under 50, and you immediately convert it to a Roth IRA. Boom, you're right into a Roth IRA. You made the contribution. That is still legal as of today. I hope they don't get rid of it. I've seen whispers, but I think that would hurt a lot of people. The other way that we just touched on, you know, is just conversion. So people that have money in traditional IRAs and they can't do the backdoor, converting small amounts of money each year, filling up your tax buckets, getting money in, you know, there's a study that I read a few years ago called the arithmetic of Roth conversions. And it states that if you have a 10-year window, 99% of the time, you're going to hit that break-even point at some point because of just compounding interest, right? So when you convert and you pay the tax on that conversion that year, all you have to do is make up what you paid in tax. And that's the break-even point from investment return perspective, right? So that does happen for people, you know, most of the time for people that have a long span of time. So Roth IRAs, very powerful, very important. I think everyone should be using them in some capacity, retired or not, but especially you younger high earners, you need to be taking advantage of these instruments, especially if you have children, especially if you have children. So if anyone ever has any questions about Roth IRAs, I consider it one of my areas of specialization is getting, you know, people that into Roth IRAs that otherwise can't in some degree, whether it's through conversions or through the backdoor or just traditional contributions. So thank you all for listening. Like I said, it's going to be a shorter episode just because of Thanksgiving coming up and a lot going on. In my next coming episodes, I hope to be bringing someone else on to, you know, interview my first subject matter expert in the field of financial planning. Thank you for all who listen or watch. Please like and subscribe on YouTube or Apple Music or Spotify, wherever you watch or listen to this. I would greatly appreciate it. Have a great day.